Hey, guess what's happening on this week's episode of the Beating Diabetes podcast with your friend and host, Oscar Cameo.
Do you find yourself sluggish during the day, craving food at odd times and not being able to sleep at night? Or do you routinely eat something sweet just before bedtime and find yourself waking up in the middle of the night, unable to return to sleep? If you answer yes to any of those questions, stick around to hear the rest of today's episode. You don't want to miss it. We're going to talk about food cravings, sugar cravings specifically, and why you may not be getting enough sleep at night, and also why the lack of adequate sleep may be contributing to your weight gain. See, we all want to lose weight, but when you're on this journey, sometimes not realizing how sleep affects our weight gain or weight loss can make a difference. So don't worry, you're not alone. Let's discuss some practical ways to change your lifestyle, stop those cravings, lose weight, and reverse type 2 diabetes. Welcome to the Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Oscar Cameo. Our goal is to help diabetics make lifestyle changes to reverse type 2 diabetes. Listen, if you're overweight and wanting to make a change in your life, this is the episode and podcast for you. When I was 268 pounds and diagnosed with type 2 diabetes back in August 2020, it was clear that I needed to lose weight. Listen, my doctor told me, hey, Oscar, you need to get your life together. You're on the road to having poor health, so you need to get your stuff together. So folks, guess what? I didn't want to die, so I pulled myself together and I made the changes that I needed to make in order to live the lifestyle that I'm living right now. I am down 82 pounds as of this episode, folks. It wasn't easy. In fact, it was tough. But you know what? I knew that I wanted to change my life, so I did. I didn't want to be sick anymore. I didn't want to be sluggish. I didn't want to be tired. I didn't want to have up and down cycles in my sleep. I wanted to be able to get to bed at night and sleep and have adequate sleep at night. So I did what I had to do to turn things around. You know, I had a bad habit. If I couldn't sleep at night, I would just eat something. I would get up in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, and just eat something. I mean, it could be like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, a Pop-Tart, a piece of cake, some other type of sandwich, or drink some fruit juice or something. And it was just like a habit that I just developed, and I just kept doing it, and I kept doing it, and it did not help. You know, over time of constantly waking up in the middle of the night, dealing with the insomnia, and eating poorly in the middle of the night, man, that contributed to my poor health. You know, in fact, my normal bedtime, folks, was 2 a.m., and then I would wake up around 6 a.m., clockwork. That was my daily habit. That was me surviving. Can you imagine surviving on 4 hours of sleep? And mind you, I've always lived a very active and busy life. I mean, you're talking about traveling a lot. I used to travel all the time for work. And if I wasn't traveling for work, I was just always busy, whether it's volunteering or just doing stuff. Busy stuff all the time. And then compound that with not eating right while on the road, or even if I'm in town at home and at work, going to the vending machine as a regular thing throughout the day, going to fast food restaurants, getting fried chicken, French fries, biscuit, and drinking a Coke or Pepsi. Man, it was terrible. I didn't realize it at the time. I thought I was just doing what I did. And many of you may be in that same situation where you're stuck in this routine of not getting enough sleep, eating late at night, and during the daytime, just doing this roller coaster ride of eating the wrong stuff, man. Hey, listen, I'm not here to beat you up. I've been there where you are. You know, like I said in previous podcasts, I'm the guy you can relate to. I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through because I've seen it time and time again. You know, especially if we hang around folks that's their lifestyle, We live with folks and that's their lifestyle too. Hey, I know what it is. Pizza Thursdays, Taco Tuesdays, and just eating the wrong thing late at night. That was just a habit, man. That's what we did. But you know what? That didn't make things any better. Just because you have a routine, if that routine is not good, if that habit is not good, obviously it's going to affect us in our bodies. So it took me going to the hospital, sick, sluggish, tired, to finally discover that I had type 2 diabetes. Man, that was something crazy. You're talking about August of 2020, having to go to the doctor, getting blood work. Then the doctor says, hey, rush to the hospital. You need to be admitted right now because your blood sugar was over 400 and something. Man, that was crazy. I thought I was going to die that weekend, folks. That weekend that I got that call from my doctor's office to tell me to go to the emergency room, it was scary, folks. And then sitting up in a hospital by myself for that week, man, yeah. So listen to episode 2, I believe it is, of the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle podcast. I kind of go more into that story and my scare, my near-death scare, and that whole experience and what I was dealing with. So before we go on, let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to delve more into the sleep problem and how to get more sleep. Folks, if you want to connect with me, you can always email me at hello@beatingdiabeteslifestyle.com. Also on Instagram at @beatingdiabeteslifestyle. Listen, if you want to send me a video with a question or a comment, you can also use the HiHo app. That's HIHO. This is a great new way to literally connect with me and share a question by recording a video. I think that's a great way for us to connect as well. Now, let's get back to this week's episode. Welcome back. Yeah, so why is sleep so important? Okay, listen, during the daytime, that's when most of us are most active and our body uses energy so we can function. Now, during the day, we're most active. Most of us are. You know, those of us who don't work at night. And so our body uses energy so that we can function, right? No brainer. Now, food is a source of energy that our body needs to function. So that's, you know, when we eat something, our body uses that food as a source of energy, turning food into blood sugar or what's called glucose, and it fuels our cells and our entire body with energy. That's why it's so important to give our bodies good food that's full of essential nutrients. It just makes sense, right? But you know what? If we are not putting the good stuff in, what do we expect our bodies to do throughout the day? And what about at night? You see, at night while we're asleep, our bodies are designed to heal and rejuvenate. But now what happens if we constantly disrupt good sleep and we don't get adequate sleep? The body doesn't get to complete what it's designed to do. So imagine if that happens over time, over and over again. We don't give our bodies enough time to heal at night. It's going to be difficult. We're going to develop health problems. Duh. The body is designed to heal itself while we rest and while we sleep. We don't give it enough time to do it. We don't give our bodies enough time to heal. What's going to happen? It's not going to rejuvenate. It's not going to heal itself like it's supposed to. So that's why studies show that we should be getting at least 7 to 8 hours of good, adequate sleep a day. That's important, folks. Now, what role does eating and sugar cravings play in good or bad health? You see, poor eating habits throughout the daytime causes a roller coaster of that glucose spike where we're going up and down, the blood sugar spike going up and down. So, for example, we may eat something in the morning that's not good for us, that's full of saturated fat, that's full of sugar, let's say a donut, or we have coffee or fruit juice or pancakes or cereal, just something sugary. So eventually that will cause a quick sugar spike. Then we come crashing down, our blood sugar comes crashing down, and we feel hungry, let's say 30 minutes to an hour later. So we get a snack, and 9 times out of 10 is not a healthy snack. It could be something from the vending machine, like a honey bun, cookies. That was me. Snacking at work, getting something out of the vending machine, and drinking soda. So you're talking about eating an unhealthy breakfast, a highly sweet breakfast, then having snack that's not good, then having lunch that's probably a fast food somewhere. It could be a burger, or even if we do a salad. Sometimes the salads are just full of sugary salad dressings and it defeats the purpose. Or we go and eat a bunch of rice and chicken or beef or something for lunch that's just not adequate. That's just not good. Then guess what? Our blood sugar is raised and then we have another snack. And a lot of times it's chips or some cookies or whatever's in arm's length. We eat it. We snack on it. It's not good. Then guess what? We want to snack again later on before dinner. I used to stop at a drive-thru and get some french fries on the way home. That's even before getting dinner. That's crazy. And then you get home, if dinner's prepared or you make dinner, a lot of times it's not a healthy dinner, full of starch, hardly any vegetables, definitely no fruit afterwards, salads maybe. And then guess what? An hour after that, hungry again. So I used to fix a sandwich or eat whatever snacks we had at the house. It was crazy, man. And then eventually we go through these roller coasters of blood sugar spikes every day, day in and day out, day in and day out. And if you know anything about type 2 diabetes, it's caused when there is an insulin resistance. So in a nutshell, when your blood sugar is raised, the body releases insulin. Insulin works to lower your blood sugar to a normal state. But if we keep having blood sugar spikes, that insulin eventually just stops working like it's supposed to. And our bodies become resistant to the insulin. So that's why the doctors tell us, hey, we need to take insulin injections to give our bodies more insulin. And so it just becomes a steady cycle over and over and over again. And you know what, folks? If you were like me, you gained weight. And before you know it, you ballooned up. Not getting enough physical exercise, too tired to exercise. It's a roller coaster. So when we eat and we give in to those cravings for sugar or unhealthy foods, and it starts affecting our sleep because, you know, during the daytime, we've just been going up with this high energy, then low energy, high energy, then low energy, high energy, then lower energy. And then when it's time for bed, guess what? We start eating dinner. And a lot of us, right after we take a shower, we go straight to bed with no physical exercise. And then we wonder why we wake up in the middle of the night, because guess what? The body's still working and processing all of that food. And then you hit a sugar low, then the body says, hey, I'm hungry again. I'm hungry again. And guess what? We jump up in the middle of the night, sometimes hungry. We get up, we go to the bathroom, and guess what? If you were like me, I would fix a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in the middle of the night. So folks, it was just an unhealthy cycle. So what are my recommendations for getting proper sleep? Now, you may say, okay, Oscar, I hear what you're saying, but I work at night. So it's hard for me to get 8 hours of sleep at night because I'm working. I work the night shift, so I can't. But guess what? You can adjust your schedule to get the 8 hours of sleep, the 7 to 8 hours of sleep during the daytime. It may be a challenge to find the right time during the day, but you're gonna have to set yourself up for success. So let me give you my recommendations, and I'll list these out here. They're not in any particular order, it's just what I recommend. Number one, definitely need to make up your mind that you are going to get your 7 to 8 hours of sleep no matter what. You are going to do it. You have to make up your mind. You got to get rid of all the excuses. Stop looking for excuses. Stop looking for a reason why this is going to be difficult. You can examine your life and evaluate how you're living in order to change your life. Folks, I did it. So can you. So make up your mind. Number one, that you will do whatever it takes to get 7 to 8 hours of sleep. Now, listen, if you're only getting 4 right now, work your way up to it. It may be 5, then it may be 6 hours until you can get that adequate 7 to 8 hours of sleep. It's building a lifestyle. Now, number 2, you have to set yourself up for success. What do I mean by that? A lot of times right now, our habits are setting us up for failure. So we're not getting enough sleep. We're not doing whatever it takes to live successfully when it comes to getting sleep. So we have to now change things and set ourselves up for success. Now, here's some practical things of what I recommend you do in order to set yourself up for success. Set your sleep alarms. I mean, I have an Apple Watch. You may have a different watch. And I have alarms for not only when I need to eat during the daytime, but when it's time to go to bed. Now, here's what I think you should do, and I recommend. Now, 1 hour before it's time to go to bed, have an alarm set for that. Let's say if you want to get in bed by, let's say, 10 o'clock. So at 9 p.m., you're preparing. So that 1 hour before you actually lay your head down on the pillow, that's your prep time. Then whatever that prep time means, that's when you know it's time to start getting ready for bed. That may be different for you than it is for me, but that means, hey, at this 1 hour mark, I need to start the process of getting myself ready for bed. Now at 30 minutes, another alarm should be going off. Hey, you got 30 minutes left before your head needs to hit the pillow. Then right at 10 o'clock, you should be having an alarm that goes off and says, hey, your head should be on the pillow right now. So again, 1 hour before, 30 minutes before, and then right on the head of when it's time to go to bed. Now, to prepare yourself for sleep and getting ready for bed, I recommend not watching television before it's time to go to bed. Some people make it a habit, like it was for me, to fall asleep watching TV. We need to cut that out. In fact, what I started doing for the last 2 months or so is I stop watching television during the week. Monday through Friday, I don't have time to watch television. I don't. After work, I go to the gym. I work out for my 2 hours. I stop by the store if I need to. On the way home, I cook. Then if I have to do some work for the podcast or some other things I have going on, I have my window. And then when my first alarm goes off, then that means no matter what I'm working on, it's time to shut down. That's getting ready to get in the shower, getting clothes ready for the next day. That's getting vitamins laid out, ready to go for the next day. My meal prep food for the next day, having everything just already taken care of. If I have to wash the dishes, another thing, put away your mobile phone. That means no social media before it's time to go to bed. Stop checking your email. Stop texting your best friends and your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Shut that stuff down, man, and turn off your notifications. You're getting yourself ready for bed. All that stuff can wait. So, number 1, remember, make up your mind. Number 2, set yourself up for success. So, number 3, practice breathing exercises. You know, there's some calm apps and breathing apps and some sleep apps that will help you to really calm your mind down when it's time to go to bed. I started doing that, and I mean, it was just a game changer until I didn't need those apps to go to bed. But I do recommend it. You know, they'll take you through some 5-minute breathing exercises, really just to calm your nerves and get your mind off of work and relationship stuff and, you know, other things that may be on your mind. So I recommend doing that. Number 4, definitely stop eating late, especially sweets. I mean, we already went over why that's important. Just stop eating late, folks. It's not helping you. Drink water before you go to bed. Oh, but Oscar, you know, I don't want to get up in the middle of the night and have to go to the bathroom. Well, hey, you know, once you get your body regulated, you won't even have to worry about getting up in the middle of the night having to go to the bathroom. Trust me. It's rare that I have to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, even when I drink lots of water. You know, I get up, you know, when it's time for me to get up, 6 o'clock in the morning? And then I go at that time. So it's doable, folks. Okay, number 5. organize your life so you don't have to stay up late working. Listen, I was a workaholic. I also run a business and have other things going on, and I just had to be better organized. There was actually an audiobook I listened to years ago on how to organize your life. If I think about that title, I'll put it inside the show notes so you guys can have that along with the other recommendations that I'm going to give you guys. But organizing your life to declutter your life is so important so you don't have to feel like you're on the heels of always being behind and having to stay up late and getting ready for the next day. Folks, it's just not healthy. You have to take care of yourself. It also affects your mental health. So last but not least, number 6 is see your doctor and a sleep specialist if you're having trouble with severe sleep issues and sleep disorders. Listen, I know there are people out there dealing with severe issues like sleep apnea. You may have snoring issues and all kinds of other things, insomnia. And it could be a mental health issue too, where you're worried and stressed about certain things and you are dealing with depression, and it could be all kinds of things. So I don't want to take that lightly. Mental health is very important. So please see a therapist, see your doctor, see a sleep specialist, do whatever you have to do to get the sleep that you need, folks. It's very important. Listen, folks, as we wrap up, when I was 268 pounds, I wish I had someone in my corner to lead and guide me and show me the things that I'm talking to you about today. Someone who can really challenge me to turn my life around. I didn't have that. I didn't really seek out podcasts and really educate myself on changing my life until I was hospitalized. And I don't want that to be your situation. So I want you to realize that if I can turn my life around, if I can transform my life, so can you. There are practical things that I did, folks, to really changed my life. I had to learn about sugar and the effects on the body. I had to stop drinking sugary drinks. I had to wean myself off of sugary foods and high starchy foods. I had to eliminate and replace those things with good food. I had to start eating more vegetables with almost every meal. I had to stop eating late at night. I had to start exercising regularly and make it a lifestyle. And definitely I had to get proper sleep. It's an entire process, folks. Losing weight and turning your life around does not have to be complicated. So I have a few books that I want to share with you that I highly recommend. There are 3 books. 2 of these I've mentioned already in previous podcasts, but another one that I just started reading is called Atomic Habits, An Easy and Proven Way to Build Good Habits and Break Bad Ones by James Clear. I mean, that book, you know, I have a background also in sociology. I love human behavior, and this book just jumped out at me when I saw it on the shelf. I also downloaded the audiobook. I mean, I'm just absorbing a lot of information. So that's The Atomic Habits by James Clear. The other one, this one is a good book on understanding blood glucose and sugar and even dealing with cravings. It's called The Glucose Revolution, The Life-Changing Power of Balancing Your Blood Sugar by Jesse Enchuspe. I mean, I've listened to the audiobook and I've read the book and I reference it a lot. She also deals with some hacks that you can do and add to your life to help lower blood sugar, to help you regulate your blood sugar. I mean, she has some really good and practical advice to share. The last book is The 10-Day Detox Diet, The Blood Sugar Solution by Dr. Mark Hyman, MD. Another good resource. All of these books are available on audio as well as in print. Definitely get these books. Consider them. Folks, each week I like to end on a positive note by giving you a focus point. I call it a focus point for a reason. It's that one thing, that one takeaway I want to be branded in your mind as you go about your week. Here we go. Are you feeling empty? Allow motivation to be the premium fuel that keeps your tank full along your journey through life. It's okay to stop and refuel, but keep moving. You have somewhere to be. Hopefully that is a blessing to you all. Now, on the next episode of the Beating Diabetes Lifestyle Podcast, we're going to delve more into developing a new lifestyle to live healthy and reverse type 2 diabetes. Folks, if I can do it, you can too. So see you next time. As always, stay focused, keep moving, never go back. Trust God. You got this. I believe in you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Beating Diabetes Podcast with Oscar Camejo. We hope you enjoyed this episode. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for motivational and educational purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a physician or other healthcare professional or qualified fitness instructor. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or professional advice or services. If you're looking for help on your journey, seek a qualified medical practitioner. It's important that you utilize someone who is a trained, licensed healthcare professional who can help you on your journey toward good health.